We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676760 55, +233 2676760 55, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.
Tonight, I want to share with us again something very important. I believe it's going to bless someone. I want to speak to us tonight about the blessedness of obedience. When we walk with the Lord, what a glory on our way. When we through His glory, He has had we lost you, and we all who will trust and obey. In the land of His word, what a glory is way. When we do His good will, we abide with our fear, and the world will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for the soul of the way, to be happy.
Glory to God.
I want to show you the blessedness of obedience. You know, I've shared with you before that there are three levels of walking with God to maximize His blessings. And if you will walk in the full scope of the blessings of God, you must function in these three levels. Number one, I said, is the level of revelation. There are things in God you can never have until you have an accurate revelation of Him and you have an accurate revelation of how they walk. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, the Bible says, all things are yours. All things. As far as God is concerned, everything He has for you is already yours. Therefore, let no man glory in men. He says, all things are yours. But accessing all things has different operational dynamics. There's nothing you can do to make available the things of the Spirit. It was the love of God through mercy and grace that provides it. But accessing those things provided has a protocol. And the first is revelation. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth to life and godliness. But it shows you how to get it. Through the knowledge of Him that calls you to glory and virtue. Called you to glory and virtue. That means all that God has made available is designed to bring you glory. But in between is knowledge, the necessity of revelation. If you don't have revelation, all things that pertain to life and godliness would have been made available, but you will never experience it. If you study the prayers of Paul for the churches, one of the things you see that never changes is revelational knowledge. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 19. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks and making mention of you in my prayers. For what? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the power, exceeding greatness of his power to usward, which he wrought according to the workings of his mighty power. And that's the power he demonstrated when he raised him from the dead. So the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of the saints in light, and the power of resurrection are all at the mercy of your revelation of the knowledge of him. So a Christian who does not have revelation, although all things are available, but he will not experience it. So the first realm of working with God to maximize his blessings is the realm of revelation. He said, buy the truth, sell it not. Expend yourself to get knowledge, because therein lies your blessings. He said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world. 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 14. But the spirit that is of Christ, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things we speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't take them, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Because even if he's not foolish, if he tries, he can't know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the Holy Ghost, the scriptures, the baptism of life are all channels to bring us into revelation. And revelation make us to domesticate divine blessings. You are not helping a Christian until you start giving him light. One of the major responsibilities of the fivefold is to give light, to bring revelational knowledge. Ephesians 4:11 to 13. To some, he gave to be apostles. To some, he gave to be prophets. To some, he gave to be evangelists. To some, he gave to be pastors and teachers for the equipping or the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting there is the word katatismos. It means to furnish with revelation for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you begin to help a Christian when you start exposing him to the truth of the word of God. Because that's the first way to accessing divine blessings. The second way to walk in divine blessings is through consecration. There are things that answers to revelation. There are other things that answers to consecration. So a Christian who does not have a consecrated life cannot access certain things. Jesus himself speaking, he said, give not holy things to the swine or to the dog. He said, why? They will trample it underfoot. They have no regard for spiritual things. So in this kingdom, if you will access certain things, you will be consecrated to access them. Your commitment to God is what shows that you are mature to handle it. Galatians 4:1. It says the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, although he is Lord of all. So the guy, number one, lacks knowledge, and number two, he behaved childish. Because Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, lack of revelation, and I also acted like a child. He doesn't have regard for prayers. He doesn't have regard for purity. He doesn't have regard for obedience. He doesn't have regard for a walk with God. He takes everything for granted. And because of that, although all things are his, but they can't be given. Because he has not demonstrated maturity, first through knowledge, then through commitment. I give you examples here over and over again. Your assets belong to your children. But you can't give them until they mature. Even if you give them, they can't be allowed to use it until they mature. Nobody gives a car to a 2-year-old child. At best, they will snap picture and put on the internet. They will never drive it. So when we begin to demonstrate commitment to God through consecration, then God begins to open channels of blessings. And I don't want to overflog it. I just did a teaching on the 5 levels of consecration. That was last week. You go look at it and you will learn a great deal on how consecrations can bring enormous blessings and access to a believer. Well, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, he said, "The standard of the Lord standeth sure. Hence the Lord knoweth them that are his. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every man that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." He said, "But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and of earth. Some unto honor, some unto dishonor." Verse 21 is my focus. If a man therefore purges himself, this is not the Holy Ghost, this is consecration. If a man therefore purges himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good works. So if a man is not committed to consecration, he can't be accounted as a vessel unto honor. And there are many things he won't be given. Because in this kingdom, as you walk with God, you are going to find out there are 3 gateways through which God gives. Number 1 is his love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Love provokes it. Number 2 is obligation. Because God is our Father. So anything we don't access because of love, we may access because it's obligatory. As a father, he's a responsible father. The Bible teaching in Matthew 7:7-8. He said, "Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open." Why? "Whoever asketh, receiveth. Whoever seeketh, findeth. Whoever knocketh, the door will be open." Why? Because we have a heavenly Father. If he as wicked as our earthly parents are we going to ask them for bread and they give us stone? Or ask them for fish and they give us serpent? Our heavenly Father is more predisposed to giving us the kingdom. So there are things God gives based on his obligation as your Father. There are things he gives based on his obligation as your Creator. So when you come into the world he created you into, there are things he makes available. But there are other things that are entrustments. And those ones are sacred things. You must demonstrate certain levels of maturity through consecration for God to entrust it. That's why the heir, so long as it's a child, is considered a servant. So consecration is the second thing that provokes access to divine blessings. And then number 3 is virtue and character. There are some things that if you have not built virtue, is a risk to give you. To walk in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, you must develop the fruits of the Spirit. Otherwise, there are levels you can't go to. Because you will bring reproach to the name of God. Did you not read what Paul said? "Give not authority, position, leadership, access to a novice." If he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. So there are things that God can't give you if you have not developed virtue. You will either use it to destroy his children or mitigate against the advancement of his kingdom, or you will bring reproach to the name of the Lord. That's why the Bible keeps emphasizing the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1 to 5. It says, nothing you have outside of virtue profits you. Because it summarizes virtue as love. Nothing you have. That means if you don't have anything that virtue sanctions, it was a waste. Let's read it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and I have faith that removes mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So you have not received anything from God, neither are you anything before God, if you don't have virtue. Verse 3, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burnt, and have no charity, that's love now, it profits me nothing. So you have not profited anything from God, you are nothing before God, if you don't have virtue. Because love is not a feeling. If you read down from verse 5, it gave you different attributes of love. And if you go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you're also going to see attributes of love. The whole sum of virtue is defined as love. From kindness, to patience, to temperance, to meekness, all of it is called love. Because it's not called the fruits of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's a meekness, temperance. Go back to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then you continue from 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 5 to 13. So there are things God won't give you unless you have virtue. Otherwise, it's a risk. And those who force their way into scratching into some of those things are eventually aided by Satan. Because that people are prophesying does not mean it's God. Even Satan has the ability to see your name. That people are doing miracles does not mean it's God. Satan can do lying wonders. That's why we sanction blessings through the gateway of virtue. If we have not seen virtue, that grace, that manifestation, that possession is questionable. Because it's not only God that blesses. The only difference is that the blessings of God are there no sorrow. Satan also blesses. There are many people prophesying by divination. There are many people casting out devils by exorcism, cooperating with Satan. And you will trace the foundation of that manifestation in their virtues. When you see unnecessary arrogance, unnecessary flashiness and vanity, you know that something else is pushing these people. You see unnecessary hype. You know this thing. There is a decorum of the Spirit, sir. The Bible is replete. They said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures will find hope. We have seen apostles in the Bible. If the ones now don't resemble them, another spirit is piping them. We have seen prophets in the Bible. It's not our generation that started having prophets. So it doesn't matter how popular you are. We have seen teachers in the Bible. We have seen priests in the Bible. And there is always a place of revelation, consecration, and virtue or character. If these three things are not there, most likely God is not there. And this is not a matter of argument. These are truths that can never be shaken. In fact, if you are troubled and you want to argue, it shows that something is wrong with you. Because anybody that is of the truth knows the truth when he hears it. And the Bible says you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. There's nothing you can do against the truth. Because the truth will outlive all of us. So it's important for us to understand this. Now, the hallmark of my teaching tonight is to show you how to access or walk in God's blessings through one of the streams of consecration called obedience. Because obedience is a dimension of consecration. When you talk about subjects like this, hyper grace people will jump at you. Because as far as they are concerned, you did nothing to be saved. You don't need to do anything to live the glorious life. There's no need to argue. Check. Look at their results. Look at their character. If it is consistent. Because we don't veto or justify doctrine just by seeming exegetical accuracy. We also verify doctrine based on practices of the apostles. That's why the Bible didn't just stop with teachings. It gave us acts of the apostles. So that we check both teaching and character or lifestyle. When you find these inconsistencies in manifestation and character, just know that the gospel they are preaching is nonsense. When we are dealing with obedience, it's a type of work. And this is one of the works in scriptures that you will find in every dispensation. To show you how important it is to God. There's no dispensation of scripture that you will check and you will not find obedience. From the Garden of Eden, God gave a command. To the days of Abraham, the promise, God gave commands. To the days of Moses, God gave command. Even in the context of grace, God gives commands. So obedience stands out. It never has never been removed in dealing with God. It's important for you to understand it. Now, for the purpose of my teaching tonight, let me expound three things quickly. Number one, three kinds of works. The first kind of work is the work of the law. The second kind of work is the work of the flesh. And the third kind of work is the work of faith. I can expound broader, but these three categorizations, if you understand it, it will help you. And you can put obedience in these three orders. Obedience can be a function of law, obedience can be a function of flesh, and obedience can be a function of faith. Because it's a type of work. But you need to understand the difference. The work of the law is any act of obedience carried out to receive justification and approval with God. So anything you are doing in order to receive divine justification, approval, is called the works of the law. That is you obeying for you to be accepted. That's called works of the law. Because in the context of grace, we have been accepted in the beloved. So we are not doing anything for God to accept us. In the context of grace, we have been justified in Christ. Romans 5 verse 1. Ephesians 1 3. He said you are being freely justified by faith. He said you have peace with God. If you are doing anything now for God to accept you or to justify you, is you trying to pioneer your own righteousness. And New Testament theology is against that. When to trust and obey. Romans 10 verse 3. I'm explaining this so you understand. Did they fast in the law? Yes. Do we fast in the context of grace? Yes. But there are two different operations. In the law, you fast as an obligation. It's not a relationship. In the law, you fast to meet a quota of obligation to be accepted. That's different from grace. So fasting constant, but meaning different. So the whole idea of the teaching is to give meaning to action. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted their righteousness to the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him that was without sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So it was the merit of God that made us righteous. So we are standing on his merit. So it also can be extended to obedience. Jesus obeyed God, we were accepted. So we are not obeying to be accepted. We are accepted in God. But now that we are accepted, God expects us as sons to follow him. So there are two different things. Every obedience done to receive acceptance is law, is legalism. So that's a type of obedience. That's not what we are teaching tonight. The second type of obedience is one born from the flesh, trying to do something to have a merit. It's because I gave. It's because I fast. It's because I studied. You know why that of the flesh won't work? Because no man can glory in his presence. We have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of God and not of man. You know why this one can't pass? Because even the fast, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the moment you want to take credit for works, it is the work of flesh. That means it was motivated by your human tendencies. From flesh, either pride or fear or competitiveness, all of those things are filthy rags before God. So there's an obedience done to receive divine acceptance. It's called legalism. There is an obedience done to glory, to brag, to take merit. It's called flesh. Such obedience are motivated by your human tendencies, not God. But there is another obedience that comes from love, comes from honor for God, comes from the stirring of the Holy Spirit. That type of obedience is called the obedience of faith. It's the work of faith. For such obedience, you are not doing it to be accepted. You are already accepted. In fact, it's the spirit of adoption that is crying in you, Abba Father. It's the spirit of adoption that is inspiring you. It's the spirit of grace that is empowering you. That kind of obedience, you can't take glory. So it's not flesh. Because you know it is Christ in you that is enabling you. It is God that worketh in you, both to do and to will of his good pleasure. So you can't take glory. That type of obedience is of faith. That's what Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. He said, by the grace of God. So there is a walk in grace. There is a work of faith. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 5:10, not 3:10. Understand this. This will define your walk with God. Very simple. Almost impossible to differentiate. Yet hold very strong implication in the spirit. Is it for? Oh my God. First Corinthians 15:10. That's my scripture. I'm the one confusing you. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I what? Labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. So this is somebody laboring by grace. Working by grace. It's also called the work of faith. James 2. from verse 17 to 20. You see the way James put it. See, all the apostles know these things. Can we go to James 2 from verse 17? Please write these scriptures down. Meditate on them. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and have not works. It says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It says, thou believest that there is only one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. He said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? In fact, verse 26, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, he says, so also faith without works is dead. So while we are careful not to become legalistic by making people to think what they do is what gets them acceptable with God, why we are careful not to get people into the flesh by trying to take glory and merit for what they do, we must also be very careful not to make believers become irresponsible by pushing away the whole idea of works completely. There is a work of faith and there is a work in grace. It is obedience. And every believer who wants to really grow in God must be submitted completely to God. So if you ask, what is the necessity for obedience? Number one, obedience is necessary because grace does not excuse it. Titus 2, 11 and 12. It said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly, righteously, and goodly in this present world. We should live soberly, righteously, and goodly. If we check many versions, you are going to see what soberly means. It's an obedient, submitted lifestyle to God. So grace teaches us to live an obedient and submitted lifestyle. So grace does not excuse obedience. Number two, what's the necessity or justification for obedience? Obedience is the proof of love. That's why in every dispensation, God institutes obedience. You can't claim you love a spirit without obeying him. Spirits don't hear the language of emotion primarily. One of the strongest language spirits hear is obedience. Jesus was speaking. John 14, 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, if you say you love me. And John the apostle was speaking in 1 John 2, verse 3 to 4. I'm showing you why obedience is not legalism. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Part of his commandment or his works is to believe that he is the Son of God. But that's not all. It extends. And Paul told us to live soberly, to live righteously, and to live godly in this life. Not in heaven, in this life. They are all part of his commandment. Titus 2:12. Number three, why is obedience necessary? Obedience is faith in action. Faith can be docile if there's no obedience. Faith can be unproductive if there's no obedience. You saw that already? James 2:20. Faith without works is dead. And please, slow down. Let's journey together. I will show you. Because as I'm saying obedience now, somebody is thinking, what I'm focusing on is thou shalt not. That's not what I'm saying. No. I will show you what we obey. The voice of God is one of it. The leading of the Holy Spirit is another. Glory to God. So when we talk obedience, it's beyond the laws of Moses. That's not what we are talking about. But of course, if you are born again, the laws of Moses becomes your lifestyle. Because there is no error in God that covetousness is permitted. There's no error in God that adultery and immorality is permitted. But now you don't do it to be accepted. You are accepted, that's why you don't do it. So know the difference. Number four. Of course, you have seen that number three, obedience is faith in action. The Bible speaking in James 2:20, faith without works is dead. 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So anybody who does not have obedience may have faith but has dead faith. Number four, obedience is a grace-empowered lifestyle. Anybody who has seen the power of grace, one of the ways he demonstrates it is through obedience. Romans 1:5, Philippians 2:13. You can't claim you have seen the power of grace if you are not living obedient. One of the demonstrations of the power of grace is obedient life. Paul said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So grace is empowerment demonstrated in obedience. Philippians 2:13. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And finally, what's the justification for obedience? Obedience is righteous living. And so grace is not access to sin. It's not permission to live in sin. If grace provokes righteous living, then obedience must be a lifestyle. Romans 6:16. To whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey. His servant you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. So, obedience is important because it is what? Righteous living. And grace also is an errand unto righteous living. So apart from all of the blessings of obedience that will be seen, these 5 points are justifications for obedience. And these 5 points reveal to us that obedience is not legalism, neither is obedience a work of the flesh. It reveals to us that obedience is something deeper than legalism and deeper than works of the flesh. So what then is obedience? Obedience is not obeying rules and regulations. Obeying rules and regulations is a part of it, but it's deeper than that. Obedience is a heart level response to the will of God. A heart level response to the will of God. When a man is able to discern God's will, and he responds to God's will, that action is called obedience. And if obedience is of the Spirit, it is rooted in love, in faith, and in reverence. It's a heart level submission, a heart level response to the will of God. And if it is of the Spirit, it is rooted in love, in faith, and in reverence. So anybody who doesn't obey God is not a man that loves God. You prove your love for God through obedience. Anybody who does not obey God is not really a man of faith. Because as you walk in faith, you are going to discover that every manifestation of faith has one trigger. It's called obedience. You can be standing, the Holy Ghost says, turn to the left. If you don't turn, you will never see that manifestation. So you can't define faith without obedience. You can be preaching, the Holy Ghost says, stop, sing this song. You sing, power begins to flow. You can lie in your house, the Holy Ghost says, get up, call this person. You don't even know why. But you call without questioning. That conversation now materializes something. So you can't claim to be a man of faith if you are not a man of obedience. Because the trigger of faith is obedience. Never ask those who walk in faith, they will tell you. I'm going to introduce him as I round up. Reverend Joe Great is a man of faith. Back then, in 15 years ago, in Benue State, those days in the crusade, these were the men that collected crutches from people angrily. And you'll be wondering, why were you bold? It's a movement, it's a stirring. And as we study what to obey, you will see it. It can come as a voice, it can come as a stirring, it can come as a light. A scripture hits you, and you take action based on that scripture. You are not obedient, you can't have faith. You can't walk in faith. So obedience is love. Obedience is faith. And obedience is reverence. You can't claim that you honor God. And he talks, you take it for granted. And you say, we have grace. Hope you know that grace and truth came through Jesus. Yet he obeyed God to death. And it is Jesus we are copying. If Jesus who brought grace was obedient, who are you? He said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He obeyed unto death. At Gethsemane, Father, not my will but thine. But a generation of Christians have risen with a doctrine from the pit of hell that say you don't need to do anything. You don't need to obey anything. All things are yours. And we are living in abject rejection and poverty of all type, from spirit to soul to manifestation, and we don't know why, because obedience is lacking. You will never find one apostle whom story chronicles were told without many moments of obedience. You go read your New Testament, you won't find one. How do you even walk with the Holy Spirit without obedience? Because he came to guide you into all truth. So how can you say, you don't live without obedience. Obedience is life in the spirit. I have many things to tell you, you can't receive it. But when the spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So if you are not obedient, you are not walking with the spirit. Jesus said, love is obedience. James said, faith is obedience. But we have apostles today that say obedience is not necessary. Do you see why what we are doing is strange? The early father said, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what the glory he sheds on our way. When? When we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. One of the fights we must fight in this generation is to recover Christianity. Because most of our heritages have been lost. Ancient landmarks have become blurry. New apostles will rise to fight for the heritage. Because too much lasciviousness have been brought into the church. He said there are many men crept in unawares. Who have turned the grace of God. Jude verse 3 and 4. Into lasciviousness. So obedience is a heart reality. Demonstrated in love, faith and reverence. And the summary of the manifestation is submission or responding to God's will. In order to exemplify it in a more clear fashion, I broke it into six. Number one, I said it is hearing God's voice and responding accordingly. And Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep heareth my voice and they obey. So I'm not taking you to the era of Moses. I'm showing you present hour walk in the spirit. My sheep heareth my voice and they what? Obey. So obedience is hearing God's voice and obeying. Number two, obedience is submission to God's authority and the position of his word. Submission to God's authority and the position of his word. That's why I said it's not rules and regulations. I won't come here and say, don't bob your hair like this. That's not what I'm teaching. That would be legalism. But if you know God, you will know him because his authority will be exerted on your soul. Your ability to submit under that authority is obedience. James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. Then rebuke the devil. He shall flee from you. We are rebuking devils with verses of scripture. And they are going nowhere. And we think it's by reciting it. Now they make people recite it 1,000 times. I know when you talk to yourself, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. But if what you are doing is recitation of the other religion, go and rest. Submit yourself to God. It is to come under the authority of God or the position of his word. The revelation of his word that has been given to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 is the power of God unto salvation. It says, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when God reveals his word, your job is to comply. So your submission to the position of the word or submission to his authority is called obedience. So this is what I mean when I say heart posture reality. In case you don't get that, I'm breaking it down. Number three, obedience is yieldedness. Yieldedness to the life and the promptings of the Spirit. If you have the life of God, you will know that life has languages. The language of life may not be audible. It may not be articulate, but you can't deny it. You know why? Life speaks through promptings. Life speaks through knowings. As you are, if you are hungry, nobody will whisper in your ear, you are hungry. No. There is a way life will prompt all your system that an alarm will go up. If you are pressed, nobody will come and tell you, it's 4:12 p.m. Now you are pressed. Go to the restroom. No, that's not how life talks. If you are pressed, you will start sweating from everywhere. Nobody will tell you. You will know. And you will know that the only way to ease up is to obey. So, it's a response. It said the law of the spirit of life. Romans 8:2. That is in Christ Jesus. Has set me free from the law of sin and death. So life prompts. And those laws, those promptings are laws. Because they come for you to obey. And then the stirring of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. So the difference between a child of God and a son of God, amongst other things, is obedience. When you want to separate children from sons, check obedience. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. All of us, when we received the life of Christ, we became children of God. But there is a journey from being a child of God to a son of God. Kingdom is not for children. Kingdom is for sons. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Then the government shall be upon the shoulder of the son. Daniel 7:13-14, he saw the Son of Man and a kingdom was given to him. You don't give government to children. But the difference between a child and a son is obedience. That's why you find a Christian. He's been led to fast. That was 2 months ago. And when he comes to a revival meeting and he hears a message, he says, God, 2 months ago, God told me to fast. Guess what? When he's done crying, he won't fast. When you talk about fasting, say, I beg. It's all these people, do's and don'ts, fast, legalism, leave us alone. We will leave you. When there's time to manifest government, the difference will be clear. I wasn't the one who said fast on Tuesday. I wasn't the one who said you must fast twice a week. It was the Holy Ghost on your inside that told you fast. So that's not law of Moses. That's the leading of the Spirit. I wasn't the one who told you give. It's in the scripture. You have not caught it. But life started provoking you. That people going for mission, support them. Support orphanage. Support the poor. If you don't, you won't rest. Because it's life talking. And if you begin to obey it, you will see the difference. The power you will break into. So it is what? Yieldedness. To the promptings of the Spirit. To the leading of the Spirit and the promptings of life. Number 4, it is a disposition of perseverance. Because obedience is not a one-time thing. It's a life, a lifestyle born out of what? Love, faith, and reverence. It's a lifestyle. John 15:10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Galatians 5:7. He said, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So it's a lifestyle, a disposition of perseverance. This is where obedience truly needs grace. If God tells you today, money comes to your hand, say, put 90% on the altar there. You will look up. Say, Lord, you know I know you. I love you. Nothing can stand between the two of us. What is it that can separate us from the love of God? You know why? You are expecting some money next week. So if I drop this, maybe it will even provoke that one coming. You now went and drop it. And walk like a saint. You are feeling God. You are feeling God. Then next week, the next one now come. God said, this time, 100%, I was training you. He said, you will now realize that there are different scriptures. You know the scripture that will come to you? They that walketh with what? Weeping and precious seeds to the altar shall doubtless return, bringing in their sheaves. You will now know that the matter is not speech, it's tears. But that's why grace empowers obedience. Because it's perseverance. It's a lifestyle. Most of you know now, the week you gave your heart to Christ. Oh, if they say, rise up now, go to Afghanistan, you say, Lord, we are ready to die for you. Your first love was active, but now you have left your first love in banking jobs. Because every day the obedience was hard. You have left your first love in compromise. The Holy Ghost is now saying, Saturday is evangelism. You say Saturday. Hi, that Saturday, that's when I have to rest too. Okay, I will try. Is it 2 p.m.? They say 7. You say no. 7, I'm still sleeping. 7? Abba, are we going to wake them up? So it's perseverance. This is why many people who are lascivious don't want to hear about it. But there is a blessing. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love that you bestowed upon the saints. He knows. Obedience. It is hearing and responding to God's voice. It is submission to God's authority and the positions of scriptures revealed to you. It is yielding to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the promptings of life. And it is a disposition of perseverance. All as your love response, faith response, and reverence or honor response to God. If you don't have this in your quiver, believe me, you will be a child of God for many years, but you may never be a son of God. What are the blessings of obedience? Write this down. You know why I began by telling you the three levels of walking with God and accessing His blessings? So that you will know those blessings and you will start placing demands on them. You know, one of the things that give direction to your faith is expectations. If you don't have expectations, your faith will be blunt. So when we teach like this, we are trying to give perspective to your faith. So that when you are expecting faith or walking in, when you are walking in faith, you will know what should be happening to you. That consciousness is also an activator in the spirit realm. So don't just do things. Every what in the spirit has a why and a how. So the blessing is not in knowing what. It's in knowing why and how. How is the key. Why is the product. So you must know it to walk in it. So what are the blessings of obedience? Number one is promotion and favor. Promotion. Proverbs 3 verse 1 to 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them by thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of men. When you see people who are just being favored, being promoted, these are the mysteries. It's easy for that person to be lifted. See, when Paul said, exhort not a novice, he knew what he was saying. In the spirit is a rigid thing. There are realms you can't enter if you have not mastered certain levels of obedience for your own good. Some of you were not here. Let me not prophesy evil. There are many Christians that if you give them access to a place where they will earn 1 million in a month, if you put a black stone here, they will put their head on it and say, Lord God. They don't have stamina in their spirit to manage it. So, the reason they have been in one spot, living at the level of, I have food to eat, I have clothes to wear, is deeper than Satan in their village. There's no Satan anywhere. If they have a car today, that car will take them somewhere else from God. This evening now, they want to be driving around Wuse and Gariki with the roof of the car open. Bible study will be the last place they want to come. Because they are just driving. They will buy chewing gum here. Buy pure water. The roof of the car is open. They are just driving. That's why if you like, pour a drum of oil. Prophesy from today to tomorrow. They will never enter that realm. It will kill them. So there is a level of promotion and favor that God won't allow you to enter. Because it is not healthy for you. That means a man who wants to walk fast should obey more. And he will move very fast. Look at King Saul. In 1 Samuel 15:17. Samuel, speaking by the Spirit, told him what God said. When you were small in your own eyes, did I not make you king? Or God has become big. He does what he wants now. God said, wait. He said, no. People are already talking. What am I waiting for? He began to do what he liked. So you are big now. He lost his kingdom. People lose favor. People lose promotion. You know, most times people think they are blessed when they are feeling fire. These simple things, these were the things our father sat on. and they raised strong Christians. Prosperous and faithful Christians that were so blessed you couldn't take it from them. When God speaks, obey. There is favor in it. When the Holy Ghost moves you, obey. There is favor and promotion there. When they go and get stuff, stand with God. There is promotion there. Didn't you read about Joseph? How can I do this evil and sin against God? Genesis 39 verse 9. He looked like bad bucket. They threw him to the prison for 2 years. But see where 2 years prison landed him. He became bigger than even Potiphar. It may look as if you are not making progress momentarily. Don't worry. It's deeper than you know. Number two. Fruitfulness and increase. People who are obedient, even the realm responds to them. God allows things to flow into them. Because they have a God. Nothing can become their God. Job 36 verse 11. He said, if you will obey him and serve him, you will spend your years in prosperity and you will what? Have great pleasure. Your years will be in pleasure. You want to see increase? Please obey God. Please obey God. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient. If you are willing and obedient. It says you will eat the good of the land. Job 22:21-25. I love this scripture. See, there are scriptures when if you are reading, it gives you some level of assurance. I may not have all the prosperity I desire for the kingdom's sake yet, but the path I'm walking in, I know they must come. I'm telling you, my guarantee is not my bank account. No, my guarantee is my walk with God. You may look at me today. See, some years ago, we wanted to buy light, small light, to go out for crusade. Everybody that followed me plus myself, we couldn't raise the money. We prayed and fasted. Money didn't come. I was teaching them every day to build faith. Money didn't come. All they did was to sympathize with me that God will do it. God will do it. And thank God they did because I was encouraged. Me and all the people, all, as I'm standing here now, if I say we want to buy a stage from this service, if I say we want to buy a stage, if all the money doesn't come out now, at least half will come out. I don't know the people who gives her. But there's a level you walk with God to, he adds honor to you. He adds credibility to you. When you talk, they think they hear God. And the reason you can't tamper with that influence is still your fear and obedience of God. I may not have all the money I'm looking for. We have a lot of needs. I may not have all of it now, but I know I must have it. If you obey and serve him, you will live your days in prosperity. All your years in pleasure. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot or tittle of this world will pass away. Please, don't put your guarantee in men. Don't put your guarantee in your account. Don't put your guarantee in your career. Those are fleeting realities. Ask some of us here who are in our 50s. They have changed jobs many times. And those who have not even changed jobs, they face a lot of disappointment. But these things I'm teaching you, the assurance is forever. Obey God, see what will happen to you. He said, acquaint now thyself unto him and be at peace. If you start walking with this God, you will have peace that surpasses knowledge. He said, thereby good shall come to you. That means good looks for some people. You are the one who think you must do something. See, good looks for some people. If they are walking in obedience. Verse 22. Receive, I pray thee, the law, not from Moses, from his mouth. Then lay his words in your heart and see what will happen. Verse 23. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up, you will put iniquity from thy sanctuary. And then something begins to happen. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Verse 25. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. He may not bring money into you, but he will give you inspiration. He will create open doors. He will occasion opportunities. But what's the key? Receive thee, I pray, the law from his mouth. Too many Christians are begging for what they should command. And the reason is because they are not faithful. Second blessing of obedience, fruitfulness and increase. You are not designed to be barren. It is your rebellion that makes you barren. Did you not read your Bible? The Bible said in Psalm 68 verse 6, it said the rebellious shall dwell in desolate land. In Proverbs 21:16, it says he that wanders from the path of instruction shall dwell in the congregation of the dead. You have no business to be barren. Our rebellion, our disobedience is what makes us barren. Him that wanders from instruction, he dwells in the congregation of the dead. He said the rebellious lives in desolate land. There's a place of abundance. Acquaint yourself to the law from his mouth. Return to the Almighty. You shall be built up. You shall put iniquity from thy tabernacle. Then you shall lay up gold as dust, the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. The Almighty shall be your defense. Good shall come to you. I beg you, sir. I tell you people, Christianity is not coming to church. You come here to be instructed. Christianity is walking with the Spirit, walking with the Word, manifesting divinity. Number three, benefits of obedience. As I round up, divine protection. Psalm 23 verse 1 to 5. See the level of protection that David had. But what is the key? As you read, you discover his obedience. Many layers of obedience. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is a shepherd? One who leads you and guides you. So he does not want because he follows. Because he's a shepherd that leads to pasture. Don't quote this scripture and live rebellious. You will hate yourself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's obedience there. Number two, he maketh me lie down. That's obedience. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's obedience. So still waters is a function of obedience. Green pasture is a function of obedience. I shall not want is a function of obedience. We are quoting scriptures, but we are not seeing the spirit behind the letters. Even Jesus, the Bible said, the spirit drove him into the wilderness. He followed. We say we have grace and live rebellious. And we are using forgiveness to justify it. Are we not deceiving ourselves? So divine protection. If you read this scripture down, this guy said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He said, you prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. I don't know how many people celebrate and organize banquets in the midst of their enemies. Only David spoke about it. And the secret is his obedience. Two verses, three obedience. And then you see the ripple effect. We are too rebellious. I remember I told you here, I was going to the airport. Signals, don't move. I read the airport, signals, don't move. I used this stubborn head. I entered that plane. It's not for mercy. You know, there are layers of protection too. One of the ways God protects you is through discernment. All this scripture you are quoting may become useless if you disobey God one day. Imagine if I crash. They'll say, look at them. They'll just be talking. This is not the same guy who was talking the other day that nothing can happen to them. You will now end up bringing reproach to God. And the reason is because you disobeyed. You picked the sign, you disobeyed. We entered the air, not up to 5 minutes. Plane began to sink. From space. Like a bus falling. Now, I'm not a very fearful person, no sir. I think Pastor Sonny is here. We were driving in Ghana to a meeting. Reynold Kusi can bear testimony. A trailer hit our car. The car spinned from one part of the road to the other. They were shouting. I said, stop. It is well. Because when you are in God's will, you are bold as a lion. But when you step out, you know that you are walking on an edge. Plane was sinking. I grabbed iron. All of us were shouting, my father, my mother, where am I? Am I ending like this? Imagine if they snapped me that day. I thought you said the righteous is as bold as a lion. He is bold when he's righteous. He's walking in the path of God. I grab the... Don't walk in disobedience. Oh, a lion can become a sheep. Be careful. The wolves are waiting to eat you up. Don't you see lions walk in a pack? Anyone that wanders away, the hyenas will circle that one and kill it. Don't walk in disobedience. You expose yourself. You'll be shocked where your audacity will go to. I grabbed something with my hand, whether it's somebody's shirt, I don't know. For 2 days, the hand was paining me. The force I used to hold. This guy, we no, no, no. Jesus help. The Holy Spirit. Abba Father. People spoke in tongues until the plane landed. Meanwhile, it was an aircraft filled with disobedient people. Me inclusive. Only mercy spoke for me that day. Maybe somebody else was in obedience that saved all of us. You want God to protect you, be obedient. Some of you are where you are today. If you are honest, you can trace it to 7 years ago. When God told you, leave that friend. When God told you, go for a retreat, you refused. When God told you, don't take that job. When God told you, relocate, you delayed. You know, you can tell. You know, Jonah knew why he was where he was. He knew. What is going on? I'm going in error. I'm out of God's will. If you want this ship not to sink, throw me out. He knew why he was there. So instead of calling all the prophets in the world to prophesy to you, trace your step back. Repent today. Father, forgive me. I return to what you have instructed me to do. See the way your life will change. Because you are resisting God's covering. It's a him that breaketh the hedge. The serpent will bite. The serpent is powerless until you disobey. Please know this. Number 4, as I round up, because I have 6 points, I just list them now, is establishment. When you find men who are doing well and nothing can stop them, there's a power. What is keeping them is obedience. See the way Jesus puts it. In John 7, 24 to 27. Is that John 7 now? Help me with that scripture. Where he said, him that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Can somebody help me? When we walk. Is that John 9? Which scripture is that? Verse 24. I know it's verse 24. But I don't know. Oh, Matthew 7, 24. These scriptures, sometimes they go into gray areas. Matthew 7, 24. I'm sure that's the scripture. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He said, shall be likened unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So these guys who obey God, they are like rocks. You can't shake them. They don't have regard for seasons. Unto a rock. Next verse. And the rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew, beat upon the house. It fell not. For it was founded on rock. What is the rock? Obedience. Because Jesus is the rock, but if you don't obey him, you can't become the rock. Your foundation can't be rock. So your obedience make your foundation the rock. But see the foolish. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So it's not enough to hear. Obey what you hear. He says, shall be likened to a foolish man. He built his house upon sand. That house must sink. Rain, we sink it. Wind, we sink it. Any challenge, we sink it. Be strong in the Lord, sir. True obedience. There's a song my mom taught me many years ago. You can't play this one. No matter how you try. He said, stop playing so that I will get the reading. Olila gwolunu che igoje inugoli la iletikpano owo boya no wugbotanehi opegenyi ali inugoli lacha. You know what it means? A fool built his house on sand. The house of a fool has no strong foundation. When the rain falls, it will sink the building. That's what Jesus said. Learn this and save yourself. Learn it. Establishment. God can prosper you for 80 years. God can prosper you for a lifetime. He can. But your obedience is your corporation. Violate it, you sink. Number 5. Long life and well-being. You saw that already? Proverbs 1, verse 1 and 2. Keep my commandments. It says, for length of days and peace shall be added to you. Long life and well-being. You see some people at 80, 90, their health is intact. Things are working for them. And you are wondering, what are they doing? Yes, exercise is there. Good diet is there. Rest is there. But obedience is the foundation. Please. And finally, number 6, divine presence. Obedience guarantees divine presence. John 14, 21, 23. Say, he who keep my commandment, I will love him and manifest myself in him. Or to him. He said, I and my Father will come and abide with him. So you find people who always carry very thick atmosphere of God. One of the strong points they have is obedience. Write this down and go and brood on it. Write this down. What do we obey? Number 1, the voice of God. John 10:27. My sheep heareth my voice. They obey me. Number 2, what do we obey? The word of God. James 1:22-24. He said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said, for if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He said, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, he said, this man shall be blessed. The word. We obey the word. From the days of thy youth, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. 1 Timothy 3:15. And if you will add, verse 16, say, all scriptures are given by the breath of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 and 17. Is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof. For correction. And instruction. In righteousness. That the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Number 3, what do we obey? The leading of the Spirit. The promptings of the Spirit. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's also walk. So we obey the Spirit. Number 4, what do we obey? The promptings of life. You have the life of God in you. He speaks to you through impulses, through impressions. If you are hungry and you don't eat, if you sense that language, you are the one to suffer. The law of the Spirit of life, Romans 8 verse 2, that is in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a language life speaks, unless you are not alive. So life prompts. Life brings knowings. Life stirs you as well. Obey it when you are prompted, especially if you are living a holy life. Because desires too can prompt you. But when we talk of life, we are talking something from your spirit. Because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Number 5, what do we obey? Spiritual authorities. That's why you have to be careful before you submit yourself to any authority or any spiritual system. Because so long as the Holy Ghost leads you there and you have affirmed that God brought you there, you are expected to obey the doctrine, the prophetic direction. Otherwise, you may not enjoy the covering of the Spirit in that house. Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17. Double emphasis. One chapter. Remember them which have the rule over you. Rule over you. That means they have the power to instruct you. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves to them, for they watch over your soul, so that when they give account, they do it with joy. It is profitable unto you. We are in a dangerous generation. People claim God led them to a church. Pastor is giving them instruction. They are following somebody on a Facebook channel. And they don't know how things just happen to them. If you believe that person on the Facebook channel, disconnect and submit there fully. Because this thing happening does not end in time. He said they give account for your soul. So it's an eternal thing. He said it's profitable to you if they do it with joy. So submit enough to be known. So long as they are walking in the light of scriptures and you bear the witness of the Holy Ghost, you are making a mistake. Paul said, when I leave you, grievous wolves shall come. That means they won't come if I'm here. So spiritual authorities are not figureheads. They are empowered by God to bring guidance. And if God leads you to anyone, either a system, because there are certain places where it's a system, like the Catholic Church, like ECWA, they are systems. Submit to the doctrine. Submit to the prophetic direction. It's for your good. And then if you come to systems where God places one man to bring leadership, submit to what God is saying. They teach what I'm teaching you now. If you live here, obey the voice of God. Obey the Holy Ghost for your good. That's what I'm teaching you. And if God gives you a prophetic word, believe it and obey it. It will save you. Last week, I spoke here by the Spirit that God is delivering people from accident. And I gave a word. If you've had accident twice this year, come out. That between that time and now, more than 6 persons have testified of escaping fatal accidents. In one occasion, somebody died. Obey them that have rule over you. By a prophet, he brought them out of Israel. By a prophet, they were preserved. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. We are being taught arrogance. I don't validate human worship. That's why I say, so long as these people are following the light of scriptures and there's a witness of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not talking human worship. I'm telling you biblical position. And then finally, obey parents. I tell you, if you obey your pastor and you don't obey your father and mother, you are a hypocrite. Have you heard me say that before? At best, you are a religious man. Ephesians 6 verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents. For this is right. Obey them. This is one of the particular obedience that comes with the promise of long life. This is a generation where somebody is 23, they say high blood pressure. They say cancer. They are just dying like chicken. Because nowadays, people gym in the gyming place and they warn their fathers. Because now their chest is bigger. If you talk here, you will see what will happen. Your chest can be bigger, but you don't carry the blessing. Ladies wear long nails now, they can't wash plate. When mother say, cook, say, you want me to mess my nails? No, you won't mess your nails, but you will mess your life. Obey your parents. And finally, obey civic authorities. Romans 13, 1 and 2. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. It says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be, they are ordained of God. So long as somebody has entered and the constitution has recognized him, when he speaks, obey it. If it's not against divine ordinance, so long as he's talking what the constitution sanctions, obey it. Because you'll be shocked. God will come and not stand against what he said. He will judge him for being a wicked leader, but you will be in danger for not obeying. Because God is not an author of confusion. He said, every power that be is ordained of God. He rigged the election, but he has been sworn in by the constitution. Oh, Gaza, pray for the next term. Or the person who won should overturn it in court. But for now, if he talks, obey. And for your own good, pray for him. Because if you don't pray for him, if he brings madness into that government, you are finished. So for to live a peaceable life, he said we should pray for what? Those in authority. Otherwise, he will go and borrow money that will mortgage the country for 50 years. You are here quarreling. He can't be my president. He can't be my governor. He can't be my senator. Ogata, the constitution has. What you do now is, Lord, I know these people are foolish. But for these 4 years, please give them wisdom. Don't let them borrow money. If they go to borrow money, thwart it. Let it not work. Don't let them sell our country. Don't let them go into any contract that will mortgage our children. Abba, Father, when they want to err, let an angel stand with them and warn them. Forget all this. We no go grieve. We no go grieve. We won't help anybody. Do that before the election. Mobilize, vote for the right person. And when you vote, make sure your vote is counted. But if they have been sworn in, if God doesn't overturn it, just pray for them to have sense. And anything they say, so long as the constitution backs it, obey. This is spirituality. 1 Peter 2:13, 15, it says, submit yourselves to every human institution. Submit. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king or the supreme ruler, submit yourselves, or the governor. He said, for as unto them that are sent by him to punish the evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well, submit. This is scripture. Titus 3, verse 1, be subject to rulers and authority. And ready always to do good works. Obedience will bless you. Embrace it. Live by it as a code of life. And your life will be a testimony from glory
to glory.
We have too much rebellion in our practice of faith. And the reason is because grace has been misinterpreted. Let nobody tell you obedience is not part of the New Testament. I know they are trying to brand it in different ways. Some people say, we are not supposed to obey God. We are just supposed to think the way God thinks. It will now impact on our lifestyle. And then we'll leave it out. That's true. But that's not all. Because obedience has layers. And the Bible is clear on it. There are times when God will speak to you. There are times when the Holy Ghost will inspire you. There are times when the life in you will prompt you. There are times when your parents will speak. And there are times when ordinances, rulers, leaders that God has given charge will speak. Either in the church or spiritual context or in the civic context. God expects you to obey so that you can walk in the blessings of obedience.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26-767-6055. +233-26-767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.